You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You are listening to episode 73 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, May 27th, 2009. Warm ears and hot videos. It is time again for the Wells Tech Podcast, and this is the place where you can come every week to listen to conversation about technology, but no, not just technology, technology in the context of ministry. And we're hoping that's why you're tuning in, because you're finding things useful. And as usual, by my side, virtual side, is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. By your side, about 8 hours away.
That's right. Same time zone, but stayed away. So welcome back. And also, as is our custom here on the Wells Tech Podcast, once a month we welcome our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Gail Potratz. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. It was such a nice Memorial Day holiday and nice weather and fun activities. And
oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
We had great weather here in Wisconsin, at least, on Sunday and Monday. It was kind of work outside day. And I've got these headphones that I put on my sunburned ear, so we're going to have to talk fast today.
I was over quite near Sally this weekend, over by Mankato, so not too far from you, Sally.
Oh, all right. Cool.
So, but we're all back in the saddle, and we're going to be talking video, and not just any kind of video, because that wouldn't be overly useful, but video in the classroom. So when Gail comes on, we try and focus on classroom technology, and the big thing, amongst many other big things, I suppose, in classroom technology, but one of the big things is video, the use of especially streaming video. Now, we're not talking film strip kind of things that that all three of us probably remember in our high school and elementary school days, but this all comes from the internet, and there is just a wealth of information out there.
Sure, Martin, and our Parish Schools Office does a lot to support our Wells elementary and high schools by giving them options for subscribing to education-specific internet streaming sites. If you're a participant in the Parish Schools programs, you get a free subscription to Learn360.com, and we actually have an interview coming up with someone from Learn360 so we can get the inside scoop and the product developer's insight on that website. In addition, you can also get a discounted subscription to UnitedStreaming.com, which is another video streaming website with an education focus, and it just works out really nicely that Gail and her school, Emmanuel in New London, are users of United Streaming, and we're users of Learn 360 here at St. John's and Sleepy Eye. I guess so. So that's kind of framing our discussion, but there's lots of other educational video opportunities out there too, so we want to touch on those as well.
Yeah, United Streaming is kind of the big boy on the block. They're parent organization is Discover Channel, or is it Discovery? Discover Channel, I believe. And so a lot of their stuff comes from there. They've got a ton of stuff. And then Learn 360 is kind of the new kid on the block. And as you'll hear in the interview that we had with Ann Felkamp, they are growing and growing fast and trying to compete, you know, on that level. So what, ladies, what has been your experience with video in the classroom?
Well, video in the classroom is a wonderful tool to have, no matter what your source is. And before we even start talking about one type versus another, I would just say that it has really changed the face of education, because we're so visual in this day. And no matter which type you use, which application you use, I would just encourage you to be using more of that, building more of that into your lessons, because it's a powerful tool.
Do you use it? How often do you use it, Gail? Or how often does your staff there at New London use video? Is it a daily thing? Is it multiple times a day? Is it once a week? What is it?
I think we could. I could safely say there are teachers that are, well, it's definitely multiple times per day, whether it comes from this source or not. Mm-hmm. It may not be from this source, these two sources, but definitely. And, of course, some teachers more than others, so it's not equal across the classrooms. But, yeah, pretty much every day. I'm sure every day somebody's doing something with it.
Before we maybe talk about these services, we should probably talk about what it takes, and I'm sure not every classroom in the Synod is set up for video or to do video, especially streaming video. So maybe we should talk a little bit about what it takes to do it as far as the physical environment needed in a classroom. What would be optimal?
I think you're going to want to start. Go ahead, Gail.
I think you're going to want to realize that the optimal way to do this is to have a good projector, which you can project up onto the screen into a room, and optimally a good enough projector that you don't have to have the lights turned off so people can still be looking at other educational material in front of them, perhaps, while they're looking at the screen. Notes, outlines, guides, that type of thing.
So probably something with a decent lumens, you know, maybe 2,000 or
right.
or up on the lumen side. And permanently affixed to the ceiling or some other permanent structure, mm-hmm. I suppose, would be best case if you can afford to do that rather than, you know, putting a cart in the center of the room or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
it's always better to have it out of the way.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, in our school, we put a monitor in the ceiling, but the school is so old that when the people walk around on the floor up above, it jiggles the,
<That's right>.
the projector. Right. So they're constantly having to tweak that. So you may have some issues even when you permanently mount it. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yeah, good point.
So, but even if you don't have that, and of course people could also get the smart board involved if they are so fortunate as to have that. Mm-hmm. But even if you don't have those things, if you have one computer, you are able to pull up the material. Again, not ideal viewing. Mm-hmm. You know, you could only have a couple kids at a time. But there are some situations where I use it that way. So not to discourage anyone, if you just have one computer with an internet connection, and you do need to have an internet connection to pull this video in, of course. If you had a dial-up connection, I don't think it would be real good.
Not so good, no.
But you know, cable or T1 or even DSL, I've watched some on DSL, which I have at home, and that was okay.
Mm-hmm. So this would be certainly an encouragement for schools to consider getting internet in each classroom, if for nothing else than the ability to get to these streaming sites or all the other services that are available on the web for classrooms and the other classroom technologies that we've talked about in the past. And I think in general, most schools can get good bandwidth into the facility for a decent price and sometimes for free. It just takes then the wiring, or if you want to go wireless, to get that across the campus. So I think there's probably, you know, some schools that still need to move in that direction. So once you've got that set up, an optimal setup for viewing, and obviously you don't want any distractions or things that are going to detract from the video, what kind of content is out there in your experiences?
Well, I think basically both of these sites that we led off with, the Learn 360 and the United Streaming, are going to be password protected to ensure that, you know, not just anyone can get to their content. They are subscription-based services, but they're going to be loaded with educational content across all the different curriculum areas and for all the different age groups. And actually, you can very easily search or drill down in both systems to access content, you know, specific to your grade level and the subject that you're looking for. So, you know, I think they include the wide variety of video content.
And as we'll hear in the
interview, a nice thing.
Go ahead, Gil.
A nice thing about their content also is both of these do feature the option where when you find a good video that is for a particular source, there's usually, many times, there are some black and white handouts that go along. You can actually build whole units of instruction without even using your textbook if that's the way you choose to go. Mm-hmm. They're that complete. I don't see that happening that often. Sometimes people do use the handouts, but I don't see people building whole units. But you definitely could, and some of the things I've looked at could do that if you chose to go that way. And what I like about the videos themselves, if you don't want to show the whole movie, all of these movies are segmented into clips and labeled very carefully, so you can just pick out the one piece that actually speaks to your particular scientific principle that you're teaching and not show the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Or fiddle around and try to find that part in the movie. Having the clip segmented, I think, is a huge plus for teachers.
Definitely, and I just, in polling the teachers here on our campus that are using Learn 360, I think the most wonderful aspect of it is just that ability to quickly drill down and identify content that goes along with what you're teaching, or even supplements. Maybe we're not going to get to this aspect of the lesson, but I can have them watch a 5-minute video that at least introduces them to some concepts that we aren't covering in class.
So these right. United Streaming and Learn 360 are subscription-based services. Is there stuff out on the web that is obviously free that might be useful in the classroom as well?
Oh, there's tons of it. Right? Yes. We have listed on the in the show notes, I believe, the PBS.org video service,
sure.
Which also puts out a lot of very good video for kids. There are others out there, too. If you just search for, video on a particular topic, you're going to find a lot of them.
Right.
The advantage of using...
That's okay.
just keep going.
The thing is, when you use those kind of things, you just usually pull them up and use it once and show it. The full-featured advantage of the subscription situations are they offer different features than just the video streaming. There are assignment builders, quiz builders, story starter images. It's a really good management tool. And I'll speak to United Streaming, since that's the one I'm most familiar with and use myself. What I like the best about that is the quiz builder is nice. The assignment builder is even nicer. I think many teachers just use this as a video content source, but if you just do that, you're maybe not getting the money that you're spending for the subscription. I don't know. But the assignment builder in United Streaming, what you can do is you go in there and you can import some of your content. So you set the stage for the assignment you've set up for the kids to do, the preliminary stuff, the questioning, the whatever the project's going to be that's built around a piece of video. And so you can create kind of a really strong critical thinking lesson that mm-hmm. just depends on their viewing of that one piece of video as part of this big lesson. And so you put your lesson all online there and then connect that particular video to it. At the end of this process, you're given a code. So the kids go to the student center, they plug in this code, and then they can see this whole lesson, including what you've prepared and the video they need to watch to be successful at this lesson. And the beauty of this is you can do this as group, but you can also do this individually. Now, this is something you wouldn't necessarily need to show on the big screen. Kids can be in any room in the school. They could be in the library. They could be in your classroom. They could be at home at night. Beautiful right. for absent kids.
Can be part of the homework workflow, right?
Right. So yeah. If you've got a classroom website, you're good to go. You tell the kids where to go. It's on the website in the usual spot. Here's the lesson, and there it is. So those kind of features, I think, are what make these things very unique and very good to have. Plus the ability to store content. Every time you create one of these quizzes or one of these assignments, that's stored in folders called My Content. And you can actually share that with the other teachers in your school. You can share it with all the other teachers in your district. Now, I've never done that because I'm not sure what that means in our Wells situation.
I think that's everybody.
If I share that with, you know, is that going out to everybody?
I think it's every subscriber, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be really cool because mm-hmm. you could take advantage of what other people do. It's getting close to collaborating. There's mm-hmm. not really a place that you can actually talk back and forth that I'm aware of. I mean, I haven't used that feature. If it could be a new feature. But the playlists, you can build playlists for all your content. So I have my social studies area, my geography area, my language arts area, and then you store these things. So mm-hmm. these lessons may take you some time to build, but you've got your own content of lessons right in here connected to the video, which to me, that's the beauty of it.
Right. Sally, you were going to say something about 5 minutes ago.
Kind of backtracking to other free services, I just wanted to put a plug in for TeacherTube.com, which is kind of a YouTube parallel site that has education videos, things posted by teachers, and it's totally free. And then there's always YouTube, and we've posted before about QuietTube, which allows you to kind of white out the screen so you're getting just the video and not all the garbage around the YouTube videos. And then last week I think we talked about starting YouTube videos at a particular point. So kind of speaking to that need to cut out all the other and get to the point that you want to focus the kids on. And then finally I just wanted to make a mention of our Streams website.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because you're not going to find you're not going to find that theological content necessarily on United Streaming or Learn 360 or any of that devotional stuff there. So Streams is a great source for that.
That's right. And we have just loads of links to share with different video series that are available out on Streams. I encourage you to check out the video channel and you'll find things like Fifth Pew from the Front, Mr. Whistle, Kids Connection, Communicating Christ, just great content that will definitely enhance devotional side of your work.
Absolutely. And we've been talking purely about Classroom, but I think our pastor listeners probably could find some good stuff there on Streams to integrate within their confirmation class or Bible class, or if you do any kind of presentation technology during the service, I'm sure there's pieces there that could be integrated with sermon themes or those kinds of things. I think there's all kinds of possibilities.
Even a long-distance Bible information classes, Martin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a possibility, mm-hmm. viewing the videos and then having discussions maybe over Skype and doing Bible information class that way.
Yeah, the Communicating Christ series would be good content for that. Mm-hmm. Very good. So let's move to a further discussion, especially of Learn 360. We were pleased to have Ann Feldkamp of Learn 360 on. And what was kind of neat about our conversation with Ann is that Ann is not in sales. She's in content development or content acquisition. So it's interesting to hear her perspective about how a company like Learn 360 plans to get enough content to really be on level footing with a company like United Streaming. So let's listen to our conversation with Ann. Joining us today is Ann Feldkamp from Learn 360. Wonderful for you to join us, Ann. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and your position and what you do for Learn 360.
All right. My position with the company is content acquisition and product development manager. And really what I focus on is making sure that we're acquiring content that is tied to state standards and are something that our educators are using, as well as doing product development. You know, I'm out in the field a lot doing workshops and talking with educators, and we really try to, focus the new software features and different aspects of Learn 360 around what, our customers and users of the site are asking for. So that's my main responsibilities, and then doing fun things like this, I guess, as well.
How long have you been with Learn 360?
I was actually just with the company since last August.
Oh, okay.
We are a fairly new company. Learn 360 just started just under 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so the team is made up of a lot of different reps from a lot of different media companies. We all kind of came together and put our brains together to make this this site what it is.
So just so our listeners know, you're not in sales. You are on the content side. So
that's
we get
right.
the real scoop here. That's great. That's wonderful. thanks for spending some time with us. Maybe we ought to ask the most basic of questions because some of our listeners may not know. What is Learn 360?
That's a good question. Learn 360 is a media on-demand resource. So, you know, just to kind of clear that up, there's video, audio files, images, teacher resources, and this is all available by signing on to the Learn 360 website and available 24/7. So think of it as, you know, your library with all those media resources, but just digitized and available 24/7.
And that site, I was on it not too long ago looking at and exploring some of the videos there. It's really focused at high school age and lower, so elementary and high school age. Is that right?
Right. We're K-12. So,
okay, K-12.
We really stick within that market.
Mm-hmm.
So, Anne, can you tell me a little bit of a scenario of how a typical classroom teacher might use the Learn 360 site?
Sure. A typical situation would be, you know, similar to how teachers have been using media in the classroom, you know, for the past, you know, 20 or 30 years, but just more readily available and easier to access. So, you know, if I'm a teacher and I'm, you know, for example, teaching something on seed dispersal, you know, within moments I can do a search and have that video playing. What's great about this is projecting it in the classroom is very easy to do, you know, on the spot to really maximize those teachable moments that come up throughout the class or throughout the day. And the teacher doesn't have to plan in advance, you know, having that program available, you know, if they were going to check it out, you know, previously maybe on DVD. And we have a lot of different bit rates where the program's encoded. So even with different bandwidths that schools are experiencing, it's a very flexible site to make streaming available throughout the day. So I guess to kind of sum it up, as a teacher, it's available whenever that teachable moment really comes up. Like I said, with the seed dispersal example, within moments you can be playing the program. We have it in, all available as a full video, but then also video segments as well. So this isn't something where a teacher is really locked into playing, you know, a 30 or 40 minute program, and they can find something that's 2 minutes long and really concise and to the point and stream it right away.
Now, obviously, go ahead, Sally.
I was just going to say I had to smile when you said the way media has been done in the classroom for the past 20 or 30 years, because this isn't how I grew up with media, at least. I can remember the film strip and the beeping, and that was such a big deal to get to turn the film strip and everything. So I can imagine how this excites the kids and really engages them.
I remember I was the AV guy in junior high, so I was the AV geek, and I got to actually rewind the film, and I got blamed when it didn't work, so I can absolutely relate.
So that's why you get
relate.
To do.
That's why I get to record the Wells Tech
stuff.
Podcast. Yes, absolutely. are there tools? Teachers are obviously very busy, so they don't have probably all the time that they might need to thumb through or to click through all the content that's on Learn 360. Are there tools available to them to help them? Are there prepackaged lesson plans? Those kinds of things.
Definitely. We really try to make it as easy to use for teachers as possible to really pinpoint what they're looking for. So kind of to go back to that example on seed dispersal, if I put that in as a keyword search, you know, I can limit it then by grade range and by subject area and really key into what I'm looking for, even down to, like I said, that clip level. And then once they do find that clip, there is the correlated standards. And for many of the programs on the site, teaching resources, whether that's a guide, a worksheet, a student activity that they can use to accompany that.
And are these contributed, or are these something that the staff at Learn 360 puts together?
It's a combination of pieces that have come from the original producer, as well as things that we've created on our own.
That makes sense. Sure. So a lot of our listeners are, I think, familiar with United Streaming. And what, in a nutshell, how do you differentiate yourself from them, or are you kind of like them, but maybe a little smaller, a little newer? How would you compare yourself to United Streaming?
I think that's a great question, the question that a lot of educators are asking themselves with the growth of Learn 360. You know, we've been making some serious headway right now in the market, and we're really excited that it's being so well received by educators. And I think what we're hearing time and time again is something that really differentiates us is that they're finding it easier to use, more current content on the site. Like I mentioned, we're just under 2 years old. So I think we are able to really develop it from the ground up with the feedback from the users over the past couple years of different things that work and don't work with streaming video. So I think even just from a development stage, we're really able to approach the design of the site and what we're putting on the site really mirror it to what we're hearing from the market. So I think in terms of that, it's teachers are finding it easy to use and current content. And then, you know, from an administrator standpoint, we are able to push out everything in one package. We don't have everything bundled into separate software packages or content packages. There's no add-ins. You know, once we develop it or once we acquire the new content or new titles for the program, or for the site, those programs are pushed out to our customers. And then on top of it, we're about a third of the cost. So that's a main differentiation point.
Yep, that's a differentiator, all right.
Sure. And I did a little digging on the back end of it as a teacher would, and working with an account on Learn 360. And I know that there's a My Learn 360 component to the site where you can upload your own content to go along with the videos as you're doing lesson planning and that kind of thing. And I even see that there's a tab for creating quizzes and things. Can you tell us a little bit about those extra features that you can make use of on the site?
Definitely. I'd love to. Thanks for bringing that up, Sally. That is a new feature that we just released in the beginning of this year, and it is called My Learn 360. And what this does is it makes, you know, all those Web 2.0 buzzwords like podcasting or sharing digital media really accessible to the teacher, no matter how tech savvy or maybe not they are. So what this does is allows teachers the ability to upload, you know, a myriad of different kinds of formats of teachers' guides or worksheets, lesson plans, you know, PowerPoint presentations. They're able to upload that to Learn 360 and have that available no matter where they are, whether or not they're switching classrooms or schools. As long as they have internet access, they're able to access that their own information. But what's really great and what really brings about that, you know, Web 2.0 features is that they can share it among their, you know, fellow colleagues and educators within the school and even within the district. So it really enhances what teachers are creating and allowing them to share it among their colleagues. And with that does come the ability to upload and share podcasts. And then also for those districts that are local hosting, which, you know, with Learn 360, we don't have any extra charges to do. They can upload and share media as well.
Neat. So kind of a one-stop shop for all things media. Now, what I'm really interested in finding out, since you are in that content acquisition space, is how do you decide? I mean, there's got to be a ton of stuff out there. How do you determine what goes on the site and how you categorize it and those kinds of things?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is a lot of great educational material out there, and you know, we are adding content aggressively, so we're getting a lot in there. Actually, by the end of this year, we're going to be over 8,000 videos on the site, so we are growing. And the way that we really distinguish what goes on the site is a couple different factors. First of all, we are looking at the educational content value of it. You know, this is an educational resource. We don't want teachers to have to go through, you know, a lot of a program that they're not finding valuable to what they're teaching. And so we're looking at the educational value, how closely it's tying to those state standards that they're teaching and the curriculum. And then obviously we're looking at production quality and where it really fits within our library. We want to, you know, if we do have any weaknesses, we're just looking to really enhance those so that, you know, the many different subjects that teachers are looking for, we have a resource available to them to use.
So do you purchase the content or the ownership or the rights to it? Do you syndicate it and then pay the content owner per play? Or how does that all work?
What happens is, first of all, Sunburst Visual Media, which is a company that Learn 360, you know, we are both divisions of it. Mm-hmm. Sunburst Visual Media has a lot of programming that we own the rights to, and so that's on the site. But for different programs like PBS or National Geographic,
right.
We license those digital rights from them, mm-hmm. and then we're able to host that on our site.
Okay. So the world is basically your oyster as far as, you know, what's available to you. You just have to determine, you know, what makes sense for your audience.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
well,
tell
I would
us
hope
what,
it's my oyster.
Right.
<Yeah.
laughs>
Tell us what's in store for us in the future. It sounds like you're in the know as far as future plans for Learn 360. We'd love to hear some of what you have planned.
Sure, definitely. So without letting the cat out of the bag too much, because you know, we do have a lot of exciting things in store, but I guess kind of the bird's eye view is we're really looking to enhance those Web 2.0 features that I mentioned before, you know, making sharing and uploading content and different materials easy to do and then easily available to the, you know, different divisions within a school, the district. And something that we're really excited about is the ability to share content within a group. Now, for example, if a teacher uploads, you know, a lesson plan or a PowerPoint, they can share that with the district, and that's just available at kind of that local level. But what's going to be great is we're instituting a group feature. So if I am a, let's say, principal, I can create a group and have that work together to share, upload content, have a discussion board. And that can be a professional development feature. And then also in addition to that, as an educational feature, as a teacher, I can create different groups for my different classrooms and have an ongoing discussion where I can post material, the students can upload material such as assignments or answers to questions. So it's just really going to open up, like I said, those Web 2.0 features.
Neat. Very nice. Now, I know our Wells schools can take advantage of this just by being a subscriber to the Parish Schools program. But if anybody is not a Wells school and would want to take advantage of this, what's the process for getting involved or getting engaged with Learn 360?
Great question. Definitely contact us through our website, www.learn360.com. You know, our contact information is there. For the state of Wisconsin, the rep is Tom Bukowski. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I should give his number. Do you think that'd be helpful?
Sure.
All right. He's a great rep, so give him a call. His number is 815-409-2170. But, you know, I know sometimes it's hard to write those down right away, but please go to our website and all of our contact information is there, and we can quickly set you up with either a 30-day free trial to get you logged in and seeing the site, as well as talk with you how we can get this up and running for your school or district.
Is this priced per student, or what's the pricing model?
Generally for the school and district pricing, it's per building or per site.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would imagine the reason I asked the question is that I would imagine that we have a number of people in our synod that homeschool. Is that a potential use for those parents out there who would like to take advantage of this great content as well?
You know, we're working on that. Right now it really is set up for a school, and you know, the lowest kind of hierarchy, I would say, would be a school. We don't currently have any individual subscriptions,
okay.
But it is something that we're looking at because, you know, that is a growing, request that we're getting.
Oh, absolutely, I would think, yeah. Because otherwise they're locked out of other things, and this would be a great opportunity for them to use this content as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, Anne, thank you so much for taking the time, and that's exciting work to be able to look at media all day long and make and pick and choose what might be useful in an educational experience. Best of luck with your work, and thanks again for taking the time with us.
Well, thank you, Martin and Sally. It's been great.
Thank you.
Take care.
Again, thanks to Ann Feldkamp for taking some time out of her day. It's I'm encouraged by companies like Learn360 trying to develop content and play with the big boys because competition is good.
Yeah, I think you're seeing lots of new development there. They're my Learn360
mm-hmm.
Background allows you to approach some of that content sharing and collaboration that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
I think a real plus for them is she talked to the fact of incorporating some of your own content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's very positive. You can really use a service like that when you don't have to just depend on what they have there, but combine what they have with what you have to bring to the table. So that's a strong piece.
Becomes your video hub, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So. Speaking of hubs, that's a nice transition to our new technology showcase item of the week. The MiFi 2200 Intelligent Mobile Hotspot. This is a device that is put out now by Verizon. It adds to their already pretty extensive line of Wi-Fi cards that work over the EVDO or 3G network. A lot of you have seen these that you plug into your laptop. They're little USB devices that essentially allow you to be online almost anywhere where you have a cellular connection. And if you happen to be in an area that supports EVDO or 3G, like Milwaukee or Minneapolis or places
CPI.
Other than Sleepy Eye.
Yeah.
not New London.
Not New London either, but we enjoy it here. Even in my home in Slinger, we get 3G at this point, which is kind of cool. But these kinds of devices have been around for a couple years now, but they allow you to essentially travel and not have to pay hotel fees or airport fees, or if you're on the road or even in the car, they work. They're really handy. But this Wi-Fi device, this MiFi they call it now, is a little bit different. It works like a hub. So you initially set it up, but it works off the EVDO network, but you can set it up and then connect to it just like a router. So you can have up to five devices attached to this 3G router that essentially gets five computers at one time on the 3G network. Altogether, it again works off the EVDO network. It supports WEP and WPA. There's a couple downsides to it, so it's got to be the right fit for you. Obviously, if you want more than one person, it might be a good fit. There's a 5 gig cap on downloads. You pay additional bucks for anything that exceeds 5 gig per month that you download. For some, that might be fine, but if you're doing a lot of video and those kinds of things, then you might exceed that 5 gig cap. It is $100 for the device. That's with a 2-year contract, and you have to obviously have the data plan with Verizon for $60 a month. We've got a couple of these USB devices around that plug into laptops. We do not have one of these hotspots yet at this point, but I can envision some uses for it in the right situation. In my opinion, Verizon has the most extensive 3G or EVDO network, better than AT&T and T-Mobile at this point. So I think it's something to take a look at, especially if you are maybe in an area that has this kind of service and you have need to get more than one computer on the network at one time.
You know, and I'm just thinking about the future, Martin, as you're talking about this. A year from now, they'll support 100 users on this kind of thing or whatever. You know, it's just amazing the technology advances that are being made.
And these 3G networks are expanding. The maps are growing slowly but surely. Obviously, this takes a while because it's infrastructure that needs to be put in place. But I would imagine that there won't be many places in the country that is not covered by traditional Wi-Fi or 3G networks, and we'll be online wherever our hearts take us at this point. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I think that's where things are heading as well. Up next, our picks of the week. Gail, you want to lead us off?
Sure. Thinking again of video, and this time not of video that we're looking for, but video that we're creating. And that's an equally important piece of the puzzle in the classroom.
For sure.
And I know that we've been talking about Animoto lately, which is a terrific tool. There's a new tool coming out. It's called StupaFlix.com, StupeFlix, StupaFlix.com. It's just in beta, so I'm really not going to go too much into it. You can read about it. It's like Animoto, but it's got a few additional features. But it's going to be difficult for people to play around with it too much at this point because it's so new. But I just wanted to get it out there so people are watching for it. You can sign up for updates at that site so that as it does develop and come out, you can be kept informed. And I think it's worth doing that. So I'm mentioning that only for that reason. But then I'm going to also mention another site. This is a site called Kerpoof, KERPOOF.com.
Gail, you win the prize for the craziest names on your pick. So.
Yeah, right. And Kerpoof has been around for a while, but it's something we just started using here and have enjoyed. There is a caveat, though. This site is not one you want to have 20 people working on at one time. It seems to be very, very slow loading and, you know, difficult to use with a big, and we have a T1 line, so it's, I don't know what the issue is, but we've had some issues with that, but not enough to stop you from using it with a smaller group of kids. It offers so many features. You can make a movie within Kerpoof, which I haven't personally done the movie part of it myself because I use so many other things to do movies. I haven't tried that. But what I have tried is there's a card making and just a storyboard. The storyboarding thing is the thing I'm really pushing just because always pushing good writing and, you know, the skills connect to good verbal and oral communication skills. So here the written communication skills that are needed to write a script, first of all, you know, and then connect it to the technology. Get the kids doing some good writing. Mm-hmm. You've got a good writing, these little stories they write. I'm thinking more in terms of K through 6 in this particular application. But they have... Then they have pages you can create with some backgrounds. You know, the kids write a lot of science fiction, and so they have a lot of moonscapes and that kind of thing and typical characters you might see in there. And then you can also draw your own if you want. You can draw in there. You can bring things in. So you build pages to tell your story. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very easy, and I think it's almost as easy as when you talk about kid picks and that kind of stuff for the real little kids. I think they can do this as easy as they can do that. There's some things that there's templates, so like a Mother's Day card.
Right. That's what it kind of reminds me of when I looked at it. Very graphically rich, and maybe that's one of the reasons that it's fairly slow.
And I think, too, like on Mother's Day, the day before Mother's Day, of course, I got the idea, you know, I'm going to punt this with these third graders, and I'm not going to let them make a card instead of what I was going to do with them. And of course, every other teacher in the world was thinking the same thing, I'm mm-hmm. sure, on the day before Mother's Day, because we couldn't get in there for anything. So the site does have some issues like that, but even that being said, I think it's really worth doing. It's easy enough and good enough to make use of to enhance the writing and the communication skills with your kids.
Very good. Two for the price of one there. Stupaflix and Kerpoof.
You're doing good, Martin.
All right. Sally, what do you got?
Well, I just wanted to share a blog website combination that I stumbled across. Was doing some reading on the Classroom 2.0 Ning site, which is a social network for teachers, and they recently had a webcast with Tony Vincent, whose website is learninginhand.com. And Tony is basically an education consultant. He's taught, and now he's basically on the speaker trail. And his niche is education resources for handheld devices, like iPods and PDAs and netbooks, and even looking at what you can do with cloud computing in the classroom on any of these devices. So, which, you know, you could also do on a typical computer as well. So just some really neat tips that I found there. I kind of got sucked into the iPod channel, and he had polls about different education software that you could use on the iPod Touch or iPod or the iPhone. He's got information about how to get started with podcasting, because obviously podcasts can be played on any of these mobile devices. So really great information there. He has a blog where he's constantly putting out ideas and tips for teachers to use with the mobile devices. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about one-to-one computing and these small mobile devices that are a lot more affordable are being experimented with in classroom settings. And so lots of good ideas there, something I want to dig into and learn more about, and good summer reading and ideas sparks on learninginhand.com.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more and more of that. Yep. Go ahead, Gil.
I just have to share with you, do you know one of the newest apps on the iPhone now is there's a whole channel for education with lesson plans and the whole bit.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a new app in the App Store. Yep, I haven't looked at it yet. Just read about it this weekend. But, yep. So they are buying into this, of course, hook, line, and sinker. So
one creative
use. We need some more 3G networks around New London.
There you go. One creative use that I saw Tony was advocating on his site was using the images on the iPod Touch or an iPhone to do education things. So he has free image sets that you can download for things like the outline of a particular state in the United States. So it's almost like a flashcard kind of image thing. You look at the outline and you guess what the state is, and then you look at the next image and it has the information about the state so you can check yourself. So just really creative uses.
There's tons of apps out there already for education on the iPhone and the Touch. I know I've downloaded a number of them.
Yeah, I think it's where is it? I think it's the University of Missouri is now going to be requiring students to buy iPod Touches to get all their coursework or course material. I think there's other institutions as well, but boy, it's coming, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yep.
Okay, my pick, and this was a head scratcher for me because I thought I had recommended this tool before. It's this little utility called Fences that I've been using for about a year or so and would not live without, and I can't believe that I've never recommended it here as a pick of the week. But Fences is an indispensable tool for anybody who wants a better organized desktop. Most Windows users, I think even Mac users, probably Linux users as well, I think are always frustrated by the clutter of icons that seem to go everywhere and have a mind of their own on your own desktop. You can never get them quite right, and some of us like to tweak that, and we get it all exactly right, and then you turn your computer on one day, you put it to an external monitor, and poof. Yeah, everything's back lined up on a flush left in no particular order. Boy, that Fences takes care of that. Basically, Fences is a little app from Stardock? Let me pull this up again. It's the good folks at Stardock. And if you want to look at some cool desktop apps, Stardock is a good place to go. They just make all kinds of icon things and docs and all kinds of things that you can tweak your desktop to your heart's content. But this is probably the one that I use the most, and it essentially allows you to create containers on your desktop that you can put your icons in, your shortcuts, your folders, even the trash can, your My Documents. All those things can go right on your desktop. You can have as many of these containers as possible. You can set their transparency so that you can see through them to your, you know, that beautiful picture that you like on your background. They're all resizable. And one other neat thing about it is that when you double-click the desktop, you can show or hide all your icons. So just with a double-click on the desktop, everything's gone. So if you just want nothing there, you want to clean that off for a presentation or just to be distraction-free, a double-click does it, and a double-click brings it back. It's free. There's no charge for it. It works extremely well. You can create these on the fly. You can rearrange. You can essentially get things exactly the way you want it on your desktop, and it stays there. So Fences from Stardock, stardock.com.
Martin, is it cross-platform?
It is Windows only.
Windows only,
as far
okay.
as I know. Sorry about that, Linux and Mac fans. But there's probably some kind of utilities out there that'll do that for those platforms as well. Mm-hmm. All right, our Wells.net feature. What do we want to point our listeners to this week, Sally?
Well, we were just comparing notes before we started the show as to whether school was out. Mm-hmm. And here in Sleepy Ideas, and that means the official kickoff of summer and vacation season, and keeping in mind that our members will be traveling, we want to focus on the Wells locator search, which is a feature on the Wells.net website. You can find it at wells.locatorsearch.com, and it's just a terrific, easy way to find a congregation or school across any of the United States and Canada, I believe we have listed there as well. So if you're traveling and you want to check on a congregation in the area where you'll be visiting so that you can attend services, this is the place to get. And I would just encourage you as leaders in your congregation to go ahead and promote the site in your church bulletin. Gail, I think you mentioned that you moved it up to be featured on your website so that your members who come to your website can find that link easily.
Right.
And so
in the summer, I always put it up on the top left.
There you go. So the vacation season has arrived, and it's time to promote locator search. Just make sure your members know how they can stay connected to God's Word as they travel and are away from their home congregations this summer.
Very good. Community feedback's next.
That's right, Martin, and we heard from some of our listeners this week. We heard from Jeremy Johnson, who added a comment on our show notes site. Last week, we talked further about Gmail extensions, how you can add a plus sign and an additional text string to your Gmail username and have sub-accounts, basically, on your Gmail email account. And I didn't have any place to point people to with instructions or guidance about that, so Jeremy shared a link to a blog called Tom's Guide, where they posted Gmail tips. And actually, I think there's about 20 or so Gmail tips on this link, so you'll want to check that out if you're a Gmail user. You can learn about this particular feature and a bunch of other tips as well.
Sweet.
And yeah, and he also mentioned that they enjoyed watching the call service from MLC, and we've wrapped up the exciting time of call services and graduation services and concerts and things, and hopefully a lot of our listeners were able to tune in and hear where their calls were being extended to different congregations and schools.
Exciting time, yep, absolutely.
Definitely.
Martin and Sally?
Yeah.
Can I interrupt a minute? I'm going to have to say goodbye. It's time for me to go teach language arts.
First things first, absolutely. Thank you, Gail.
Yes.
It was nice to be with you this morning.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. All right, next up in community feedback, we heard from Pastor Jeremiah Gum, who's at Cross of Christ in Liverpool, New York. And Pastor Gum sent us a link to a blog posting on a blog called Cyber Brethren, and the posting was titled The 10 Commandments of Church Websites, and I got a real kick out of these. Thou shalt be attentive to requests and inquiries thy website receives. Thou shalt place member-only information on separate pages easily found for your members, but keep the aliens in mind so that they don't get access to it. And just lots of others that you'll want to check out. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also very good tips for church websites. So check out the 10 Commandments of Church Websites, and we thank Pastor Gum for that.
Yep.
And finally, our friend Jason Schmidt, who's a teacher at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, has been Twittering, and we've enjoyed the various Pound Wells Tech tweets that Jason has shared. Last week, we talked about Wolfram Alpha, a new intelligent search. I don't know how else you might categorize
right.
it, but a new site for computations along with search terms. And now you can actually install a Firefox extension that allows you to view Google results as well as Wolfram Alpha results in the same page, side by side. And we'll have a link in our show notes to that Firefox extension that allows that.
Yep, more information than you know what to do with at that point.
That's right. he also sent us a link to Webspiration, which is a beta mind mapping tool that's very student friendly, so something you might want to try with your students. I believe they're currently accepting new accounts. There was a period of time where I think they got kind of over overwhelmed with all the response to their beta, and they closed down, and nobody could get a new account. If you had an account, you could use it, but you couldn't sign up for an account. But they have opened back up WebSpiration for new accounts, so if you want to check that out, we'll have a link in our show notes.
I went there, Sally, and I haven't signed up for the account, but it looks really intriguing. Looks well done. I'm wondering if this is from the same folks as Inspiration, except this is their online version. It kind of has that same feel and flavor.
Looks
well done.
Very good. All right, next up, he shared a link to Format Factory, which is an online video conversion website, so you can upload video in one format and download it in a different one, and that's always helpful as we do more and more video and need to post it in different places or have it in different formats.
And 100% free, it says it right at the top of their site, so that's always good.
That's my favorite
price point. Yeah, I have not tried this, but it looks like it can do almost anything that you would require. Any format is looks like supported. I couldn't find one that I would typically use that was not supported there, so I've got to give that a try.
Very good. Of course, always keep in mind that the security of the files that you're uploading to sites like that. You don't want to do anything that, you know, would be a breach of security in any way. But for the typical videos that we're working with, we certainly would feel comfortable uploading them and doing conversion there.
Yep.
And then finally, Jason shared a link to a site for creating PDF booklets. This one was really intriguing to me. It's called Booklet Creator. And basically, you can upload a PDF file, and then it turns it into a booklet. And it's, again, an online tool. There is an offline version that you can purchase for $10. But I would want to check this out. I think booklets are a really good format for sharing information in a school setting or in a church setting. Mm-hmm. So being able to easily format it in that way would be a nice feature to have. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to.
Sweet. Thank you to everybody who has contributed. We welcome conversations around any topic related to technology and ministry, and keep the feedback coming. The best way to get a hold of us is through our website, wellstech.wells.net. You can always email us at wellstech@wells.net or many of the other available channels sitting there on the website, including voicemail, Facebook, Twitter, etc. We're pretty well connected, right, Sally?
That's right. We are Web 2.0 all the way.
We're there for you. All right. Next week, we are going to be talking about something that's not a very glamorous topic by most standards, but it's, I think, going to be an interesting chat. We're going to have Rob Benson join us again way back in, I don't know what episode it was, but way early on in the history of Wells Tech, we had Rob on talking about security. We're going to have him on next week talking about backups. And there's been some interesting developments in the world of backups. It's not just the traditional, you know, tools that come with Windows or the Mac or whatever. There are all kinds of online tools at this point, Web 2.0 kinds of tools that save our data, and that is extremely important nowadays, that most of our stuff is in electronic format. We really need to protect it. Now, again, not glamorous, but very necessary. So next week is backup week. So please join us.
Not glamorous until you lose your data.
That's right.
Have to make use of it, and then it's like the world's best thing. And so.
That's right. That's right. So join us next week. Well, that will do it for another show. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope you will return next week for our backup conversation with Rob. Let's close our show with the music of Wendy Sue Fleege, her song Teach Me from her album The Instrument. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Never going anywhere. The darkness wants to own them and keep them from the light. More than anything, they need you, Lord, to give them sight. Every day I see them, tired and confused. Though only you can reach them, I'm yours to be used. Teach me how to follow the flow. for